Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5? Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read 19 verses of Ephesians chapter 5, from verse 1 down to verse 19. And a warm welcome to you all who are visiting with us this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 19. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Be ye therefore followers of God, as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient or appropriate, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty, all gracious, all glorious, all powerful and great and merciful God, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God with whom we have to do, the God who has created all things, from the minutest cell in the universe, all living things are created by thee and under thy sovereign care and supervision. We thank thee, O Lord, for gathering us into this place this morning, from different parts of this city, but also different parts of the world. We thank thee, O Lord, that we can gather in one place, be united in Christ, because of what he did at Calvary's cross. Oh, when we think of him, when we think of the Saviour coming from glory, when we think of him descending in his humiliation, when we think of him being conceived in a virgin's womb and being brought forth into this world, a world of darkness and sin and superstition, a world of wickedness and evil and apostasy, a world that was contrary to his own perfect and holy will, a world that ultimately would reject him, though there were a few who received him as their Saviour. We thank thee, O Lord, that he came and that he lived in this world, and he knows what it is to go through affliction, suffering, sorrow, weeping, tears. He has known what it is to hunger and thirst. He has known what it is to go through great trial and difficulty, and even, Lord, to be betrayed by his own trusted ones. When we think of him who knew no sin, became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. O Lord, there is no Saviour but Jesus Christ. There is no other name given amongst men under heaven whereby we must be saved. There is no other Redeemer. There is no other one who can pay the penalty for sin and atone for our unrighteousness and wickedness. when we read of the works of darkness and the works done in secret, even in this passage, and we are moved to consider our own state before thee. O Lord, if it were not because thou art a merciful God, we would be nowhere this morning. We will be on our way to a lost eternity. But we thank thee, O Lord, for saving grace. We thank thee for the work of the Spirit in our lives. We thank thee that we are awakened to the sins of our own hearts, to the uncleanness of our own minds, and to the wickedness and unrighteousness of our own wills. We saw, O Lord, in the Scriptures, the description of the man without God, and we saw that we ourselves were men and women without God. But we thank thee this morning that we can say that the Lord has found us, the Lord has saved us, the Lord has kept us, the Lord has strengthened us when we were weak, and he has guided us when we were lost, and he has helped us when we were helpless. When we, O Lord, were losing our own strength, the Lord came in and strengthened us. When we, O Lord, were struggling to care for loved ones, the Lord gave us the strength to care for them. O Lord, we pray for any here this morning who are struggling, who have difficulties or trials at home or in their lives. Lord, we pray, draw near to each one. Help us, O Lord, to walk with thee. As we read in the psalmist, Lord, that we would walk with the Lord. That we, O Lord, would be those who could say, that blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. That we would walk in love, that we would walk in light, and that we would walk in the wisdom of God. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt come now near us. Be with those friends who are away this morning, those who are in work placements in South America and other parts of the world. Draw near to them and give them strength. Pray for like-minded pastors and their congregations across this whole wide world. Lord, it's because of grace, sovereign grace, that they're even in the ministry. And it's because of sovereign grace that thou art working in people's lives. And we pray that thou wilt work in this place as well. We thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. Speak to our hearts. Send thy Spirit now to be our teacher. Oh, that he would instruct us and help us. We ask these prayers, forgiveness of all our sin, of our sins of mind, our sins of heart, our sins of feeling, our sins of desire. Pardon us and cleanse us. Forgive us, Lord. Help us, O Lord, to pray for our families, as husbands, to pray for our wives and our children, as we are encouraged in that psalm. And bless us one with another, we pray. Oh, that, Lord, protect every family here and protect every Christian preacher and his family this day. We ask, O Lord, hear our prayers in the Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen. Well, we're turning to Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. And we're coming to the conclusion of our little series that we've been studying over the last five weeks. And we called it Walking as a True Christian in a Fallen World. Walking as a True Christian in a Fallen World. Now, friends, we live in a day when feelings and emotions and even things in front of us are more important, even in the church, than faith itself. But the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." We walk by faith and not by sight. And what we've been looking at really is how to live, how to act, how to speak in this world in which we now find ourselves. And it's not by chance that we are now in these days. God has ordained and appointed, the Almighty in heaven had purposed and planned that we will be alive in this day, in this generation, for his glory and for his praise. Now, there were four things we looked at over the last few weeks, and let me just remind you of them. Now, the first walk or lifestyle was a past walk, how we lived in the past, and we saw how that unfolded in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 1 to 8. By the way, all these phrases of walk are found in Ephesians, so that helps us. That helps us to keep it together. Our past walk, what was it like? How did we live? Well, somebody says I was a very nice person, you know. I was kind, I was thoughtful, and I was generous. But what's the apostle's assessment of our walk? What does Paul the Apostle say in chapter 2 and verse 1? You hath he quickened, you hath he enlivened, who were dead. Oh, that's not good news, is it? That's how the Apostle Paul sees us, and that's how the Holy Spirit sees people in their sin. They're dead in trespasses and sins. We walked where in times ye walked according to the course of this world. Isn't it interesting how the world wants to control us? And if you're not a Christian, you are walking according to the course of this world. Now, that's the idea of the thinking, the philosophy, the mindset of this world. And the mindset of this world is anti-God. It's anti-Christ. It's the truth of God's word. You might be surprised at that. But that was the experience in Paul's time in Ephesus. Oh, they had gods and goddesses. Oh, but don't talk to them about the true God, the living God, the holy God, the creator God. And you read about that in the book of Acts. The past walk, well, what happened? How did this change? We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We walked according to the course of this world. We followed the prince of the power of the air. We unfolded this in our first session, so you can listen to this later maybe. Among whom also we all had our conversation. That's not speaking about our talk. Not speaking about our lifestyle. This is how we lived. Fulfilling the flesh and the mind. And by nature, and this is most serious of all, you were children of wrath. Oh, that's not very popular today. But God's wrath is against all ungodliness. The Bible tells us that the Lord is angry with the wicked every day. And God's anger is not like our anger. It's a holy hatred of all that's wicked and evil and contrary to his will. So what changed? Well, somebody says, I decided to become a Christian. And it's not Paul's answer. He says in verse 4, but God. God intervenes. God interposes. God steps in. And who is this God? Well, he's rich in mercy. He's full of love. And he is the one who, even in a dead and trespasses and sins, he quickened us and we were saved by his grace. And we saw for the children. And here's something you can write down if you've got a piece of paper and a pen, little ones. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Ask Mum to spell it for you. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's the message of the gospel. That's the summary of grace. God's unmerited favor to undeserving people like you and me. God's grace. Have you marveled at his grace? Have you basked in his grace? Have you absorbed the fact that you are children of God this morning because of God's grace? Well, we saw the past walk. Secondly, the present walk in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Now, how are we to live? You've been brought from that realm, from that place, from that lifestyle. You're now a new creature in Christ. How are you to live? You're to walk according to the works that God had appointed for you to do. And this is not just individuals. This is for the church of Jesus Christ. You see how the Apostle Paul doesn't say, for you or thee in our original language, for thou art his workmanship. It says we. It's together. It's the church of Jesus Christ. This workmanship. Oh, what a word that is. And we looked at that in detail. But it's a lovely word. You're his workmanship. You're not a thought. You're not, as it were, it's someone that God doesn't care about. He's very specific. No workman worth his salt will just throw a project together in a few hours. Somebody who's sculpting a great statue will take hours and hours and days and weeks and some even years. And that's the idea of the workmanship. God is shaping us and molding us and fashioning us. After whom? Who is the great template in God's mind? Who is the one that God is conforming us onto his image and likeness? It's Jesus Christ. He's the great blueprint. And this morning, if you know Christ, then you will know that God is doing a work in your life and in the lives of our churches that will make us more and more like Jesus Christ. The third section we looked at was in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. And the third title was Our Privileged Walk. What a privilege to be a Christian, to be called, to be able to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, and how we were to walk in lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We face our great enemy, and the last thing this enemy wants for the local church is unity. He loves disunity. He loves discord. He loves division. And if our enemy can step in and cause division amongst the brethren, then he has a slight victory. And what does the apostle say? How we are to walk, in verse 2, that's the attitude of our walk. What's that aim? That we might keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, this isn't unity at all costs. This isn't being united together with false teaching. That's not what the apostle's saying. This isn't saying, oh, it doesn't matter what someone else believes, as long as they call themselves a believer. Well, there's those rock stars who call themselves, now I'm a believer. But what do they believe in? You might smile, remember your early days. But here's the thing, endeavoring, striving, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So who's the enemy of the church? It's Satan. The prince of the power of the air. And the last thing he wants is a united church working for Christ in their community for the glory of God and reaching souls with the gospel. That's what he doesn't want. Oh, if he can cause churches to become inward looking and looking at themselves and looking at their faults and their failings, and we all have them. We all have them. If he can do that, then we can't endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. This is the privileged walk. Privileged, friends. If you're a believer in Christ this morning, we're a privileged people. Friends, last time we looked at our changed walk. I'm moving quickly. Our changed walk. Ephesians 4, 16 to 17 was the focus we focused on last week, but I just want you to remember this. This is what you wear. This is what we wear. In verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. That's how we walked in the past. And you might say, oh, this is all negative. Why are we remembering what we were in the past? That we may rejoice in what we are now in the present. You see, it's very interesting how some people want to forget the past, even Christians. We want to forget the past and we want to forget what we were in the past. But Paul doesn't let the church at Ephesus do that. He reminds them, and himself, by the way. It's interesting how often he brings in the us and the we here. He's not just speaking about you, he's speaking about we. But that's what they were. That's how they lived. And now they're changed. Have you been changed by the grace of God? Do you know the Christian faith is a walk of faith? But it's also a walk with Christ. And it's a walk of grace. From the beginning of our Christian pilgrimage to the end, it's all of grace. So this morning we're going to look at our final part. And I called it our gracious walk. Or our grace-filled walk. And there are three aspects to our message this morning, and I just want you to notice certain key words. And the first word, or walk in love, is found in chapter 5 and verse 2. And after all that the Apostle Paul has taught in those first four chapters, he's now saying, and walk in love. Walk in love. This walk, this lifestyle, shall be characterized by Christian love. Now, love is a very misunderstood word. Love, according to Scripture, is not feelings. It's interesting. When you hear somebody talk about love today or sing about love today, they're talking about feelings. They're singing about feelings. You listen to the music of the day, even the old music, and they sing these love songs, these ballads. But that's not the teaching of Scripture. The teaching of Scripture is, in fact, completely opposite to that. The teaching of Scripture is not about feelings, it's about actions. Do you notice how the apostle puts it? Walk in love, not feel love. Not get all excited about the emotion of love, but walk in it. Live in it. Have a lifestyle that's sweetened and savored with love. There's something far deeper to love than many of us understand. There's a big discussion going on at the moment between who should love, what they should love, and how they should love. And the Scriptures are very clear. And for 1 John 4 and verse 9, where does love come from? The Bible says God is love. That's where it all comes from. God is love. Let that be declared. Which God? It's God of the Scriptures. The God of the Bible, the God of Revelation, the God of the Covenant, the Triune Jehovah, the God who is filled with love and compassion towards helpless, lost sinners like you and me, because God is love. And the Bible says here in his love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. How did he love us? How did God love you and me? Dear Christian friend, he loved us and he gave his son to be the propitiation for our sin. You see the action there? See the emotion there? God didn't just sit in his throne room in heaven and say, oh yes, I love these poor sinners, but I'm not going to do anything for them. And that's the idea of the liberal idea of God's love. God's love is greater, far more greater than I can explain this morning, but it's demonstrated. And Paul's epistle to the Romans, it says, God demonstrated his love in this, that while we were in darkness, Christ died for us. It's demonstrated. Or that most famous text of all, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him would not perish but have everlasting life. Walk in Christian love. The word love, and we look at this more tonight in our gospel service, but the word love is actually four words in the Greek. And the word we're focusing on this morning is that little word, agape. Agape. It's spelled agape. It's a beautiful word. It's a sacrificial love. It's a love that's greater than the other three types of love. It's used 74 times in the New Testament, and it's used 11 times in Ephesians. And the Apostle Paul uses this word first in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, that we shall be holy and without blame before him in love. That's the whole purpose of the gospel, that we shall be holy and without blame before him in love. This love. This agape love. Oh, the Christian gospel is the only message with God's amazing agape love. The love of the world is not agape love. The love of all the religions is not agape love. No, this love. This love is a remarkable love. And it is a love where we're commanded to walk in. It's interesting, isn't it? As the Apostle Paul puts it in chapter 5, walk in love. Walk in it. Walk in it. How do we walk in agape love? How do we walk in this love? Well, it's impossible unless we're born again of the Holy Spirit. It's impossible without true conversion to Christ. It's impossible without the agency and instrumentality of the Holy Spirit. Walk in it, friends. But look at second under this part, walking in love. Command to love. It's a command. It says here, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, even as I have loved you. How did he love us? Well, Paul goes on, Christ also hath loved us. It doesn't say Christ will love us. How important present tense is here. And how important past tense is. He hath loved us. The Bible teaches us that God's love is an everlasting love. And therefore Christ always loved us. Now, we didn't know that. We hadn't experienced it until we became Christians. But Christ loved us. He hath loved us. And how did Christ love us? He loved us and he gave himself. He's given himself for us. Here's the example of love. The greatest example of all. The sacrificial love of Christ. We know Christ himself sacrificed himself on the cross of Calvary in Philippians 2 and verses 8 to 10 for us. Or the Apostle Paul puts it in Galatians 2 and verse 20. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. He hath given himself for us an offering. This is Old Testament language. An offering unto God. All the offerings of the Old Testament were pointing to the supreme offering of Calvary and sacrifice to God. Think of it, friends. The greatest sacrifice that was ever offered to God was Christ himself offering himself on Calvary's cross. And a sweet-smelling savour. In the Old Testament, we're told that the incense that God had ordained to be made and to be burned in the tabernacle was sweet-smelling, aroma in the nostrils of God. And Christ's offering at Calvary as the burnt offering, as the peace offering, as the sin offering, there he was. A sweet-smelling savour unto God. That's the kind of love we're to walk in. Sacrificial. Submissive. God-honouring. A sweet-smelling aroma. Are our lives sweet-smelling aromas to God? They will be if they're characterised by this Christian love. That's the first thing. A walk characterised by Christian love. Secondly, a walk characterized by the light of Christ. Look at chapter 5 and verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness. And we looked at this in detail last week. But now, notice the change here. Ye were darkness in the past. It doesn't actually say ye were in darkness. It says ye were darkness. Our lives were darkness. But now what's happened? Now, beautiful word in the original language. At this moment and from here on in, ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. What a strange tense. What a strange term. How on earth are we to walk as children of light? Well, look at this. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. You see the contrast here? The contrast is the world of darkness, evil, unrighteousness and falsehood. And how's the Christian to walk? Completely in contrast to this. And have no proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Proving. Examining, but also exemplifying what is acceptable unto the Lord. Oh, friends. What a thing to walk as a child of light. Now ye are light in the Lord. Isn't it interesting, that word phrase? Light in the Lord. How do I become that? Well, once upon a time, the Lord had a frown against us, friends. He despised our sin and our fallenness and our shame. But since we become his children, we are now children of light, and his face is turned towards us. And if I could put it this way, the Lord has a smile. He sees the work of his redemption as we live our lives in this fallen world and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather approve them. You see what the Apostle Paul is doing here? Light is contrasted to darkness. Light in the Bible is truth. Darkness is false. Light in the Bible is illumination. Darkness is always about concealment. That's why Jesus Christ talks about people doing, they love the darkness rather than the light in John chapter 3. They love the darkness. Why does so much evil happen at night? Because there's a concealment and there's a secrecy. But no, the Christian, we live our lives as light-filled people, as life-filled people, as truth-filled people, as righteousness-filled people, as those who are good and righteous and true. What a thing it would be if every church were to walk in the light of Christ. Let us join together and commit to walk in the light of the Lord all our days. Oh, there'll be times we'll struggle. We know that. Let's be honest with ourselves and with the Lord. But let's walk as children of light. Did you notice we're not men and women of light? In God's sight, we're always going to be his children. Always going to be his adopted children. You're a child of God this morning if you're trusting in Christ as your Savior. And God is calling us out and saying, now walk in this generation in the light of what I've taught you. Walk in this generation in the light of the truth of my precious word. Do you read your Bible every day, friend? Do you? Do you read your Bible every day? Do you pray every day? You might say, oh, that's too difficult. I have so much to do. But that's really what we need. We live in such darkness. Our social media is so full of darkness and evil and corruption. And so-called media centers, whatever one you choose in the West, is corrupt. You never hear about Christ and his wonderful work at Calvary. You never hear about holiness and righteousness and truth. Oh, friends, let's read our Bibles more. Here's something for our older members. Try and get something and listen to it in your ears. I started to do that, and I'm not quite an older member. It's very helpful. Instead of listening to the media and to the voices of the world, listen to the voice of God. Have that in your ears. And you young people with your earbuds, are you listening to the scriptures? Are you listening to the word of God? Do you think you're beyond it? Do you think you've read it once and that's sufficient? Oh, friends, dear little ones, may mommy and daddy be able to teach you the word of God and help you to understand the truth of God's word, walking in the light of Christ. Are you walking in that light? Are people picking it up? Here's one last thing about light. It is reflected light. It's reflected. And if we are walking in the light of Christ, if we're spending time with Christ, our beloved Savior, we'll reflect that light in our lives. That's why it can be so amazing when somebody comes up to you and says, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? I know of a young man who was on a train station platform recently. And he walked up to this stranger and he says, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? He was a young man. He was recently converted and he hadn't even got a church to go to. But he was living as a child of light. Well, the last thing, and very quickly, we're almost coming to an end. The first thing we looked at is walk characterized by Christian love. The second part, we looked at walk characterized by the light of Christ. And what's the third one? Well, verse 15, and very quickly, see then. This is the conclusion of the whole matter. This is how you should walk. This is how you should live. See then that he walks circumspectly. We'll come to that in a moment. Circumspectly. Yes. We'll look at the word circumspectly, but let's just look a bit further. Not as fools, but as wise. Circumspectly, what an interesting word. Well, you could translate it as carefully. It's used to the word in the original Greek, New Testament Greek. It could be translated as diligently, circumspectly, or accurately. It's interesting how in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, some of the commentators translate this as accurately. See then that ye walk circumspectly, as wise. So what does this word circumspectly mean? It means this, and this is the picture I want you to take home. You look all around you. You don't just look ahead. You look all around you, friends. You pretend you're an owl. Children, you know what an owl is like. They're amazing birds. They can flick their heads around, almost right round to the other side. That's how Christians should walk. They should walk as owls. Should have that mindset, looking all around you, not just looking straight ahead. That's a good thing, don't get me wrong. It's good to be looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking ahead to the goal, looking ahead to glory, that's important. But we're looking all around us. Not as fools, look at the contrast here. Not as fools. Oh, friends, what is a fool in the Bible? Not a jester from Shakespeare's plays. They're not fools according to Scripture. The Bible tells us the definition of a fool. Read the book of Proverbs and you'll discover what a fool truly is according to God's standards. But there are passages of Scripture where God tells us plainly what a fool is. And it's sad to say this. We're surrounded by a lot of people like this. God says in Psalm 53, the fool has said in his heart, no God. That's the fool. I know in our translation, and our translators try to help us by putting in there is. But in the original language, it's not there. The fool has said in his heart, no God. So all these very clever people with their very long lists of qualifications who deny the living God, according to God's word, not my word, friends. Don't take it from me. Don't say, oh, the pastor there, he says you're all fools. No, take them to Scriptures. God says they're foolish. They're fools. They're not stupid. They're hard-hearted and they're against God. They despise God. They mock God. Look at your social media. It's full of people. Look at these great nature programs. It's full of God deniers. It's tragic. It's awful. And these people don't realize what wrath they're heaping up against themselves. Because one day soon, some of these very well-known people will see the true God. And they won't be able to say anymore, no God. I don't believe in this God. People call it pie in the sky. I don't believe in this God. You meet them all the time. Instead of getting angry, we should weep. They don't realize that as they harden their hearts against the true God, they are heaping up a great judgment for themselves. No God. No God. I don't want anything to do with your God. Isn't it fascinating? Even the so-called religious directors now are not Christians. Isn't that fascinating? You never hear anybody who would actually say Jesus Christ is the only Savior of sinners. You won't, because they're God deniers. And this is where the Christian is so different. We are not God deniers. We're not fools. Oh, wasn't it a wonderful thing to be a fool for Christ's sake? And rather than being a fool in God's sight. Isn't that a wonderful thing? To walk circumspectly. To walk carefully. The contrast here is between the fools and the wise. Notice what he says. I'm just reading what the Apostle Paul says. Not as fools, but as wise. Now, how are we to be wise? Look at these things. Number one, we are to redeem the time. This speaks about treasuring every moment. Number two, because the days are evil. These are evil days. And don't forget, this is the early days of the New Testament church. This is possibly 54, 55 AD. Have times changed? We're so much more sophisticated. We're so much more advanced in so many ways. But are the days good? They're evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise? See how he does this. But understanding what the will of the Lord is. And oh, if I had another session, I would probably say we'd look at what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord. Oh, it seems like something quite far away from us. We can't know the will of God. Well, you can't know the whole will of God. It's impossible. How can we know the infinite mind of God? But there are things God tells us to do and to be. He tells us to be ye holy as I am holy. 1 Peter chapter 1. And he tells us this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Even your sanctification. That's God's will for us, friends. That's God's will, to be sanctified, to be set apart, to live differently for the glory of God, and to win souls to Jesus Christ. You know, people are perplexed when they meet people like us, because we not only believe the Bible, which I hope you do, and we believe the Word of God is entirety, all of it, every single word of it, and we believe in a true and living God who's three persons in one. And we believe in our Lord Jesus Christ who died at Calvary to save sinners like us from our sins, even though we've never met him personally. And we believe in the Holy Spirit who quickened our lives and awakened us to our sense of sin, our sense of need and our awareness of sin. And we came to Christ, beggars as we were, and we trusted in Christ. Ah, wisdom. That's wisdom. We're those who know the will of the Lord. And indeed, let us walk as children of light and be characterized by Christian wisdom. Ah, friends, when I was a boy, let me finish with this. I used to go out with our dogs. My dad used to, he used to hunt pheasants. Let me put it that way to you. And sometimes the dogs will be so active chasing the pheasant. One of them will be going along the hedge, the Springer Spaniel. She was chomping at the bit to get off and go running and thrust herself into the hedge. But there was the English Pointer who did all the work. And she was the one who went along the hedge and followed the scent. And my dad would be a bit worried sometimes with all the other fellows around who weren't as safe and weren't as careful and weren't as circumspect, because they certainly weren't looking all around. All they were interested was going ahead. And he watched the two dogs and he'd watch the pointer and she'd turn up, she'd stop stock still. Her tail would go out as straight as it could be and her head wouldn't move and her eyes would be fixed on the pheasant in the hedge. And instead of my dad bringing me up and my brother up to where the pheasant was, he'd say, "Now you stay behind. You stay behind." There was one evening. My brother got lost. It was getting dark. Well, he didn't get really, really lost. He just forgot where he was. And he lost sight of myself and my dad. And we retraced our steps half a mile down a ploughed field. No fun. And there he was, walking the other way. Now, we could tell who he was, because there was another boy with us in the party. We could tell it was my brother because of how he walked. And that's the important thing. You will know a true Christian by how they walk. Whether they're facing you or whether they're going away from you, you will know them by their walk. You will recognize a brother or sister in the Lord by how they walk. So can people tell that we are God's children this morning? Can they tell that we're those who are loving Christians, Christ-filled Christians, and wise Christians? Our gracious God and loving Father, we're thankful for this morning hour, and we're thankful for thy precious word. Bless us, O Lord, and keep us this day, and be with each one under thy word. Bless every preacher of the gospel, and O Lord, that each Christian here this morning, each child of God, and each child of God even in this town and city, would truly walk with Christ all their days, and they will see him in the glory in the not too distant future. We ask, O Lord, hear our prayers for Jesus' sake. Amen.